and welcome to Ag PhD Radio. Thanks for joining us. I'm Darren Hefty along with my brother Brian. It is harvest season across much of the country, and we're getting harvest updates. We'd love to hear how things are going on your farm. Are you getting close to done with harvest? Are you just getting started? What's happening on your farm? Our phone lines are open at 844-44-AG-PHD. You can also send us an email, radio@agphd.com. Brian, we're getting soil tests in. We're getting harvest results from all over the place in. And it's just kind of fun to hear how things are going and what the game plan is setting up the crop for next year. Or the fields I'll for next year, I should say.
I'll just give you a quick update on our farm. Tomorrow, we're basically going to finish everything other than a few plots. Corn and bean yields are off compared to what we would normally get. We're probably going to average, I'm going to guess it's, we probably finished low 60s on soybeans, and I don't know, around 210, 215. I don't think we'll get to 220, but we're somewhere in there. So we're off just a little bit. We haven't had a decent rain in over 3 months. We're actually in the extreme drought area. When you look at the drought monitor map that comes out, you look at the spot in South Dakota that's extreme drought, yeah, that's us. So it was a little bit rough. The good news is we haven't lost a single day all harvest to rainfall. So we've continued to move along with that and getting tying done. We're going to be spreading fertilizer here later in the week. And so, I mean, that part's all going along pretty well. In terms of soil tests, we've gotten a lot of questions from people saying, well, should I still soil test? Yes, you should still soil test even if you're dry. Will the results be perfect? No, but they're never perfect. So just do your soil test. It's going to get you awfully close. So might you be off a few pounds? Yes, but who cares? At least you're in the general ballpark. It's going to be fine. Don't even worry about it. I would say when harvest is finishing up so early this year, it does give people an opportunity to get all their fall work done, everything from fertilizer to tillage. I mentioned tiling already. I mean, just keep pushing. Keep pushing hard. Get that done. And hopefully then that means next spring things go pretty easy.
Yeah, it's so fun when we're ahead of schedule this fall, getting things out of the field, and we've got a little bit more time, or at least we think we have time. You know, the wind today and the weather can turn fast. It just gets you thinking, yes, winter is just right around the corner, so we can't take a whole lot of time off right now, but it is fun to celebrate that things are getting done ahead of schedule and start making those plans and executing those plans for next year's crop.
Yeah, but we just have to keep going and keep pushing. Yeah, it is easy when the crop gets out, you say, oh, yeah, I don't have to work so many hours. No, keep working lots of hours. Keep pushing it. I mean, don't go crazy overboard so you get hurt or do anything dumb, but you got to keep pushing, because if you can get your soil ready for next year's crop, you just have such a better chance to raise a great crop. I mean, you look at the last couple of years and we had record fall rainfall. That was no fun. And a lot of fall fertility work didn't get done, tillage work didn't get done, and then you're behind the eight ball in the spring. So if you can get this stuff done now, you're in great shape going into the spring. The other thing is, when you get all these jobs done, you might go, boy, I actually have an extra couple of days. Great. If you do a little fall herbicide work too. We're going to be doing some of that maybe later this week, otherwise next week. But we've done that for years, and it works fantastically well. You can use the Group 15s if you want to in front of corn. You can use Trifluralin or Prowl. You can use Valor or Authority in front of soybeans. I mean, there are a lot of products that, as long as you're spraying within, let's call it 2 to maybe at the most 4 weeks before freeze-up, you're in good shape. Very little of that product is going to get used up this fall because there's nothing growing after this point, at least in our area. And then you just have to plant relatively early in the spring. If you like to plant very late in the spring, then fall herbicide application is not for you. But if you like to plant early and you're usually up against it trying to get all your spraying done also, just do your spraying this fall. Works great. Done it for years.
You know, getting a lot of questions around strip tillage and fall fertilizer application, and certainly there's a lot of P and K getting spread out there now, and soon it will be a lot of nitrogen. That's one thing too, as we're heading through this fall season, going to be a lot of questions on that, a lot of thoughts about where should we be. And, you know, we were just talking today, I was talking with Rob Fritz about building maps to variable rate fertility to seek out a certain parts per million in our soil or seek out a certain percentage base saturation. Those are pretty simple formulas to develop and really easy programs to build yourself. I love where technology is at now and how we don't necessarily have to rely on so many people off our farm to help execute these plans to bring our farm forward.
Well, that's true, except for if you're a one-man show and you're in the combine, you're in the tractor all the time, and you're not getting any rain days like us. We have no rain in the forecast. That's hard to do. So just work with a good agronomist on things like that. It's very easy to set up, but then you certainly can do the application yourself. So we've got all of our equipment set up for variable rate, costs very little money to do that. It's very simple to do that. Basically, you just drive when you're in the cab, and the computer controls it. So I would encourage people to do that. If you can kind of even your fields out, what you're going to see is your yields are going to start to even out as well. A lot of people talk about like the CSR rating, crop productivity rating, you know, soil types, all this stuff. I've never found that stuff to be very accurate at all. What matters more than anything, now certainly, you got to have at least halfway decent soil. If you're talking pure sand that's not irrigated, there's not much you can do, okay? But if you got fairly decent soil, it's a lot about soil fertility. Get your pH right, get your soil fertility right, and you're going to get a lot better yields and more profit. And, you know, the other thing with some of these fertility investments, you can't just think about them as one-year investments. They are long-term investments. So we're putting out enough potassium, maybe enough zinc, enough copper, in some cases for several years, and that's fine. Those nutrients aren't moving much in our heavy soils, so don't get too worried about that. And yes, we got to stay focused on costs, but we always want to look at the long term as well on our farms.
Getting a harvest update today from farms all over. We would love to hear how things are going on your farm and what's happening in your part of the country or your part of the continent, I should say. We are getting some dry crops out right in our neighborhood. We'd love to hear what they're looking like in yours. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Revitech fungicide from BASF has been specifically developed for the selective soybean grower who doesn't compromise. If you think good is good enough, if you're okay with just achieving rather than overachieving, if average is your goal, this is not the fungicide for you. Revitech fungicide, brand new chemistry, 3 no-excuse modes of action, 0 modes of compromise. Sounds like the fungicide for you. Revitech fungicide from BASF, that's smart. Always read and follow label directions.
Acre to acre, year to year, generation to generation, nobody scrutinizes performance like you do. And acre to acre, year to year, generation to generation, the consistent performance of Vasgro brand soybeans helps to keep your profitability out in front, offering leading agronomic expertise and 100% exclusive genetics for strong yield potential. Ask your dealer how much further you can grow when Vasgro leads the way. Always read and follow grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
You deserve to have a building that will last for generations. With more than 110 years of experience and thousands of satisfied customers, Morton Buildings is the industry leader you can trust. Unlike other construction companies, you work with Morton Buildings craftsmen from conception to completion. There's no better time to buy. Lock in your new building for 2020 today. Contact your local Morton sales office or visit mortonbuildings.com.
As a little girl, I always wanted to run the combine because it meant I was helping Dad. And Dad always said, farmers are helpers. I'm teaching that to my daughters, that farmers help our family, our neighbors, and our community. It's what I do at work. I help farmers get the equipment they need. My name is Kim. I'm a farmer, and I work for Case IH.
Case IH, built by farmers.
Listening to Ag PhD Radio. Thanks for joining us. Getting a harvest update. We'd love to hear how things are going on your farm, where you're at right now. If you're already done with harvest, great. We'd love to hear what you're working on and what kind of success stories you had from this year's harvest. Head out to Illinois to start off this segment. We've got Mike with us right now. Mike, how's harvest going there?
We're about a third of the way done, maybe a little greater than that, but it was a very slow start. For some reason, we didn't really get started until October, it's the 1st of October.
You know, that's normal for us, but we were dry, and so we got in there a little sooner. Did you guys have plentiful moisture?
We did till there recently, and maybe that's why everything stayed so green for end of September and, heck, the first couple of days in October. I was going from field to field, sitting there trying to pick, finding some corn that was dry, and most of it was anywhere from 26 to 30%. And even my early planted beans, and when I say early April, middle of April, they were group three and threes. They didn't get ready until, like, say, the about the second week of October, when we've really gotten a good start now.
Wow. Well, hopefully that means good yields.
We've had decent yields. They're above average, so I can't complain on that part.
Awesome. Awesome. You know, the tough thing, though, if harvest gets started a little slower, is all the other things that you wanted to do after harvest. Now that time period becomes crunch. Did you have a big plan for after harvest if everything works out?
It would have been nice if I'd got my strips made this fall, but I guess I'm going to have to wait till spring. How's that for strip till on the corn? So Mother Nature always wins.
You bet. You bet. All right. Well, these markets have changed a little bit too, so maybe it's not bad that harvest waited up for these market prices to get a little higher.
I agree 100% on that, but my dad, who's almost 90 years old, told me that he said during an election year, a lot of times, presidential election year, that the grain prices go up. At least he's true this year. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Well, I know there's a lot of those rules of thumb, and they aren't always 100% right, because otherwise everybody would know them. But when it's more times than not, you can definitely make some money on that. And with these soybeans right now, there's a lot of demand going on for soybeans, a lot of excitement in that market. Do you think there's going to be enough demand to support additional acres going in next year?
You know, that's a good, if I knew that, I probably wouldn't be here in Illinois. I'd probably be in some Caribbean island and enjoying my life. But it is a little shocking, and I wish the corn would rally some, just or more. I guess I'm going to get greedy and wish it would keep up with the soybeans and the levels it's raised to gone
yeah.
up.
We're hoping that too, that they both got to compete for those acres. That would be a really fun situation. Okay, talk to us real quick now. You mentioned your dad's about 90. What generation are you on this farm, and how big a deal is that with some of this ground? What's your family's game plan here going forward too? Are you the only one left farming, or you still got some others that are farming too?
No, I'm the only one left farming and seventh generation. And we've got some ground that actually deed signed by Abraham Lincoln.
Wow. Wow. That's pretty cool. Yeah, we get so many questions about people saying, well, you farmers, you know, what do you think about the land? And you're not thinking about the land the same way that other people would. I just look at this. You're a great example, Mike. I guarantee you the previous generation thought, you know, hey, Mike's coming back to farm. We're going to make sure this ground's in as good a shape as we can leave it for him.
Yeah, well, it is. My dad was very innovative. We were the first ones around here trying no-till on the corn and on soybeans too, and I've just tried to take it from there. And like I say, in 2010 I switched to strip till on the corn, and still doing no till on the soybeans.
Yeah, it's tough being the first guys to do something a little bit different, but it's also really fun when it works, and that's awesome. I'm glad to hear you guys are still trying to innovate, still trying to improve things in your part of Illinois. Good luck to you, Mike. You got a lot of harvest to go, but hopefully it goes smooth for you.
All right, thank you very much.
You bet. Let's head down to Texas. We've got Wade with us right now. Wade, how are you? Let me try that one more time. There, did I get you now, Wade? Oh, maybe not. Having some technical difficulties there. Let's jump to Iowa. We've got Brad with us right now. Brad, how are you today?
I'm fine, Darren. How about you?
Good, good. Talk to us about harvest. How's it going in your area?
Yeah, so Central Iowa here, we're just east of Des Moines. We're all done. We finished up actually a week ago. So we had a lot of down corn and went after it as soon as it was fit. History has taught us don't wait till it to dry down. You get out there while it's still got some health in the stock. So we wrapped up last week and now moved on to getting things ready for fall tillage, fall fertilizer application, that sort of thing. So,
you know, when you think about that windstorm that went through Iowa, we all saw the pictures and our hearts went out to everybody there. We knew that was not going to be fun to try and work through. I heard a lot of guys talking about they had reels and they were going one way, and there were others that just had a complete loss. How did you fare through that?
Yeah, so we equipped, we actually had a reel from 5 years ago. And so my brother also has a combine. He got a reel. And you didn't need to use it all the time, but where it's down the worst or broken off at, you know, at the root base, you have to have that to get it to go in. We never got to the situation where we had to go one direction, but it definitely is a must to be able to pull it in. Depending on which direction you were harvesting. So if you had north-south rows versus east-west, that all factored into it. But all in all, we're just glad to have it done and complete. And for the most part, you know, we were able to get most of it, but yields went off significantly, of course. We're seeing, you know, 50 to 60% reduction a lot of places where it was really severe. From a loss perspective.
I'm sorry.
And the guys that around us that, yeah, and for guys that weren't able to get it harvest, several of them around here actually took rollers and rolled them. And with the rains, the few little bit of rain we've had, a lot of that now has germinated. So fields are turning green, which is good. If you're going to soybeans next year, you know, you want to get as much of that as you can. But for a lot of our acres, we'll be going back to corn. And then that kind of leads me to one of the things we saw this fall that we thought we had under control was honeyvine milkweed. And it came back this year with the down corn, and it became, took advantage of the extra sunlight and actually started spreading. So I was just kind of curious, if we're going to go back to corn next year, what would be your maybe recommended plan of attack on that?
That is a fun weed to try and stop. It looks, we get a lot of questions about field bindweed or creeping Jenny, and we hear guys say, well, I think I've got field bindweed out there and I'm not getting it, and it's actually honeyvine milkweed, which is no treat to try and get kind of a viney weed, not really like common milkweed where Roundup does a pretty nice job. My experience has been with honeyvine milkweed that Roundup is suppression maybe at best. Have you tried Roundup on it? I'm guessing you've seen the same thing.
Yeah, where we've been able to spray along field edges and that sort of thing, and you can, you know, just spray straight Roundup and get access to it. Yeah, we're usually pretty good. But this is out in the middle of the field and you don't necessarily know where it's going to be. That's where, well, it seems like, is there anything pre-emergent or something else we should be coming back post that would be a good application?
I don't know about pre. I know that I've had some guys using status and they've said that's been okay on it. And some of those guys, since the Meso or Callisto has gotten so cheap, where it's only $3 for a full rate, they've been mixing in some Meso with status and said that's been the best thing they've done in corn. Now, it's not cheap,
okay. But
status is still a little overpriced. I love the weed control. I wish they were just a little bit cheaper, so they're a little more competitive with how these HPPDs like Meso have come down in price. But yeah, if you could do a premix of those, if you just said, well, I've only got it in this one field and I just want to wipe it out before it spreads, that's what I'd do.
Okay. No, that's great.
All right. Well, thanks a lot, Brad. Really appreciate it. Glad to hear that the harvest is over and now it's time to start thinking about 2021. I'm sure everybody after that wind went through would much rather talk about 2021 than have to look at that crop in 2020. We're getting a harvest update from around the area. We would love to hear from how things are going on your farm. Our phone lines are open throughout the show today.
Get tough on herbicide-resistant weeds. Add Tough 5-EC into your post-emergence tank mix and increase control of some of the toughest to kill herbicide-resistant weeds that plague corn, such as Palmer amaranth and water hemp. Tough 5EC is a selective contact herbicide with an underutilized mode of action that provides faster kill and application flexibility for post-emergence control of key broadleaf weeds. Ask your local retailer about Tough 5EC or visit BelchamUSA.com. Always read and follow label instructions.
What's the next big thing from the Roundup Ready Extend crop system? A soybean built on Roundup Ready to Extend technology, or one with glufosinate tolerance? Great news, it's both. Expected soon. Extend Flex Soybeans. Always read and follow IRM where applicable. Grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions. Commercial availability in 2021 is dependent on regulatory approval. No dicamba may be used in crop with Extend Flex Soybeans unless and until approved. And no dicamba formulations are currently registered for such use in the 2021 season. Learn more at extendflexsoy.com.
Are you combining around weed patches, waiting for weeds to dry down, or tired of spring burndown failures? Save time, nutrients, and moisture by including a Valor herbicide brand in your fall burndown program. Valor provides excellent residual control of tough weeds, including kochia, marestail, prickly lettuce, dandelion, plus suppression of bromes. Proactive, effective weed resistance management starts in the fall. Get a clean start for your next season with Valor herbicide brands. Always read and follow label directions.
You would never plant seed or apply herbicide with a 20% success rate. So why are you still applying phosphorus fertilizer with a maximum availability of only 20%? Double your phosphate availability and increase yields with NutriCharge from AgroTech USA. NutriCharge's patent-pending technology protects phosphorus from negative chemical reactions that tie up your fertilizer investment. NutriCharge performs across all soil types and pHs. Contact AgroTech USA or your local Van Deese supply representative today.
Customer service goes a long way when trying something new. Ryan Shaw from Michigan shares how Soil Warrior helped him transition to strip tillage in his operation.
The Soil Warrior guys, they are amazing to work with. They made this jump in this transition extremely painless. One question that I get all the time is, how is the service and everything? And I said, well, actually, I get better service from them than I typically do my dealers uptown. They're just amazing.
More info at soilwarrior.com.
Success isn't just about maintaining your operation, how you make out for the season, or how much you can get from each acre. It's about doing precisely what needs to be done to feed your crop and grow your legacy, all the way down to the last drop. AgroLiquid Precision Crop Nutrition. Apply less, expect more. Find a retailer at agroliquid.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ag PhD Radio. Our phone lines are open throughout the day, looking for your harvest updates, how things are going on your farm. 844-44-AG-PHD. You can also send us an email if you would like, radio@agphd.com. If you got any cool pictures from harvest or want to show a picture of your yield monitor or a soil test or anything like that, it's a great way to share it. Brandon mentioned earlier that we're getting close to wrapping up our harvest on our farm. We've been soil sampling now for quite a while and had a fun conversation this morning, or not really so fun, but one of our young guys was out in the field and couldn't get the probe in the ground because we were so dry and the ground was so hard in that particular field. And so the response was, well, we just need a bigger guy. Well, we put our bigger guy out there too, and he couldn't get through the ground either. So there is some pretty hard ground out there. There's some pretty big cracks in some fields. It's not ideal, that's for sure. Hopefully we'll catch a little bit of rain here before too long. Got Shannon with us. He's out in the central part of South Dakota, which if you say, well, Shannon's from South Dakota, we already heard from you, Darren. We kind of know how South Dakota's going. No, central South Dakota, a little different than eastern South Dakota. I'm glad Shannon's calling in today. Shannon, how you doing?
Good. How are you doing today?
Pretty good. Okay, we are really dry here, probably like you guys normally are. How are you out in your area?
So we're the same way, yes. Of course, we got our winter wheat planted. A lot of it's up, so we're real lucky. We got a good stand of winter wheat coming. Most of it got a good stand. We're done with corn, which is about the earliest we've ever been done. And we started on sunflowers this week, and we've got some sunflowers done, but we still have a fair amount of flower. But, yes, we're really getting dry.
Okay, you got a couple of different crops there that probably don't get enough press, and I'm going to give you a shot to talk about them. So talk to us about these sunflowers. Do you have to do a pre-harvest burn down, or is everything kind of coming to maturity at the same time?
So we don't do a pre-harvest burn down on sunflowers generally. You know, they'll usually, like late summer, they'll kind of dry up, or what kind of helps you the main is if you get a good hard freeze to kill the plant off, and then you can get the only tricky part, they kind of want that, like if you sell them in the bird seed market, they want it down around 10 moisture. So you kind of got to get it down there kind of low moisture, down around 10. And a lot of ours go to the bird seed market.
Okay, now you mentioned that when you get dry plants, dry seed, and especially sunflower seed, I start thinking about fire risk. Do you have much issue with that?
So we used to have some fire risk, and sunflowers are kind of known for catching combines on fire. I think the dealers like them, but the insurance companies don't.
Fair point.
There was a guy at SDSU that made kind of a kit, and I wish everybody would check it out. It's a box. It's an enclosure that you put on your turbo and exhaust manifold, and then you have a hydraulic fan on it that keeps pressurized clean air blowing around your exhaust manifold and your turbo, and we haven't had a fire since. We used to take water wagons and everything with us everywhere we went, but we haven't had one fire since, not one spark. But there was a lot of research done at SDSU and the Sunflower Association. They did some really good studies, and I think they've got something with this fire deal. So.
Yeah, that is a big deal. And you know, that's a great thing about being on the farm is there's all these situations that come up, and we've got some really impressive innovators on a lot of farms thinking about, all right, what can we do? How can we fix this? Because it's a consistent problem. And yeah, sunflowers definitely have a reputation. There's no doubt about that. So I'm glad it's going much better on that. How about the winter wheat now? Talk to us about that just a little bit, Shannon, because like you said, you've been dry. Did you catch enough? You said you caught enough rain to at least get it started?
So yes, a lot of our ground is all no-tilled, of course. Some of it was chemical fallowed, which means we didn't crop it, but we chem fallowed it through the summer. And we got a couple half-inch rains here. Oh, it would have been late kind of August, and boy, that really helped us because we was really nervous about that's the key to winter wheat. If you can get a good stand in the fall, that's a lot of it, but I love winter wheat. I'm a winter wheat guy, and I like winter wheat. It's a nice, easy crop. I don't know. I just kind of like winter wheat.
Yeah, it sure is. And it's really nice having something growing out there too, because as you mentioned, there's a lot of issues. And so for farmers listening from other parts of the country or around the world, South Dakota has done a lot of no-till work, especially in the central and western part of the state, just trying to conserve moisture. And like Shannon was talking about, sometimes that means they may do some different things too, like chem fallow or whatever, just trying to conserve whatever we've got so we can grow something. And I know you've raised some awfully good crops out there too, Shannon, so you're doing a lot of things right.
Yeah.
Well, Shannon, great talking to you here. Good luck here the rest of the fall. Glad to hear corn harvest is done. I was actually kind of surprised. I was like, wow, really? That's awesome. It's really early for that. And so that's a good accomplishment too.
It is. Yes. Thank you. And you guys all have a safe harvest. And thanks for the call. And you guys take care.
You bet. Thanks, Shannon. Let's head over to Iowa. Got our friend Tony Wendler with us with Farm Shop MFG. Tony, how are you coming with harvest?
I am wrapped up, actually.
Excellent.
I went heavy into beans this year, and so I've got those taken care of. And right now, all I'm actually working the shop, getting some things for other guys. But I've wrapped up beans around here. I don't know where I could find a field of beans right now. And corn is probably half gone.
Wow. Yeah, that's good for your part of the country too. And, you know, you mentioned you're in the shop and doing some work and trying to get things taken care of. Shannon was just talking to us about, hey, we had a problem with fire risk with combines, and we had some people that went to work and found a solution for that. You found a lot of solutions for grain bin problems that have been happening. What are you working on today?
I am actually packaging up a bunch of the end zone fan controls for some clients. And it takes a little time to get these things packaged up and get all the cushioning around. But the controls, there are clients who've got the monitors on their bins. And we're actually starting to work with people who've got the 9 and 10, 11% moisture beans and looking at ways to get a monitor down low in their bin and one at the top so we can get a differential reading and put the system on to bring the moisture back. I'll just a quick side note on, I went with kind of the ag PhD way. My objective this year was to harvest wet, and I got it done. My plan was to quit at 12% and start at 16 and quit at 12. And if it got drier than that, then let it moisten up. And my lowest test was 11.7. Other than the when I went out and took the drowned out replants on Saturday,
sure,
they were down below 10. But I thought we got rain coming; they're going.
Well, I've seen tons of plot data reports coming in, Tony, where the average for the plot was 8%, 9% moisture beans. That's a huge financial loss unless you have a way to get moisture back in the beans.
You know, with the system on my bin, I wanted to document what I was doing. And as far as getting the moisture evened out and between the layers. And I had the thing sitting there in auto when I'm planting. And so I get back and I start looking at that. This is done. I've got nothing to talk about. My bottom is right at 13. The stuff that was 14.7 has come down. It's about 13.1 or 2. And I've got that stuff in the very top, and the sensor's a little bit below it, so it's not picking up stuff from the replant. But I know it's there. But there's nothing to do. So anyway, the big message is that if people have bins out there and they've got that 8%, 9%, you know, we're looking at 60, 75 cents a bushel that we can add in water. And you start putting the math to a 10,000 bushel bin, 20,000, 30,000, that is huge money. You know, my thing is a lot of people around here are 10%. And I just say that's an easy 45 cents a bushel.
Yeah, it's huge. And this year, this is widespread. It's not just one little area that this is happening. It's farms all over. So if you're in that spot where you've got harvest is way too dry, you want to add moisture back in, you can do it with bin fan controls. We're talking with Tony Wendler here. You can find more information online at farmshopmfg.com and check out what Tony is doing. Thanks for the call, Tony. Really appreciate it. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Are you combining around weed patches, waiting for weeds to dry down, or tired of spring burndown failures? Save time, nutrients, and moisture by including a Valor herbicide brand in your fall burndown program. Valor provides excellent residual control of tough weeds, including kochia, marestail, prickly lettuce, dandelion, plus suppression of bromes. Proactive, effective weed resistance management starts in the fall. Get a clean start for your next season with Valor Herbicide Brands. Always read and follow label directions.
If you're looking to get the most out of your foliar nutrition and fungicide programs, ask your ag retailer about Nutex EDA from Sipchem Agro. Nutex EDA has been proven to increase foliar micronutrient tissue levels and maintain those levels for an extended period of time. When tank mixed with fungicides, Nutex EDA helps support plant health, resulting in higher quality and yields. Nutex EDA is an affordable and effective solution that should be part of every grower's high-yield toolbox.
Make every bushel count with the Endzone Bin Fan Control System from Farm Shop MFG. Harvesting soybeans too dry causes shatter loss in the field and revenue loss from shrink when you go to market. With the Endzone, you can combine higher moisture beans earlier in the season to reduce field loss, then use your bin fans to naturally reach your target moisture. Condition your grain for maximum profit with the Endzone. For more information, visit farmshopmfg.com.
When it comes to commanding herbicide formulations, you know Nufarm. Nufarm brings you Panther SC, an animal when it comes to speed of control and long residual on a broad spectrum of tough broadleaf weeds like marestail, Palmer amaranth, and water hemp. And did we mention convenience? Panther SC works in pre-plant, pre-emerge, and post-harvest systems and keeps your rotation options open. Nufarm and Panther SC, here to help.
Hey, Adam, new drone?
Not just any drone.
I mounted a laser on it to take out weeds.
Look out for that tree.
In the power lines! Oh, it's heading for the house.
There's a simpler way to protect spring wheat from weeds. Perfect Match Herbicide. The broadest spectrum weed and grass control in one product. Learn more at PerfectMatchHerbicide.com. Always read and follow label directions.
The laser.
A history of success means proven performance. But let's call performance what it is. Profitability. And boosting yours, no matter what the season brings, is the goal of DeKalb brand corn. Backed by exclusive genetics, whole farm solutions, and unmatched dealer support. Let nothing shake your perseverance. Ask your dealer how DeKalb brand corn can help you realize a future of performance. Always read and follow IRM where applicable, grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
We're getting a harvest update today on our program. You can call us at 844-44-AG-PHD. We'd love to hear from you. Let's head up to Ontario. We've got Gary with us right now. Gary, how's harvest going around you?
Pretty good. We're at soybeans right now. We've got about 60% of our crop still left. Trying to work in between rain showers.
Wow, I wish we were catching some rain, but I know that feeling because that's a normal harvest for us where we have a few delays. We haven't had any. We just keep going and going and things get drier and drier. So are you fighting wet grain as well that you've got to wait for stuff to dry out just consistently?
Not really. We just got rained out 2 days ago, Saturday, back at it again today, and our moistures are back down to 13, 14.
Okay.
But, yeah.
So what are you hearing for yields?
Pretty solid 70s.
Wow. Awesome.
Yeah, we're running about 15 to 20% better than our long-term average this year. So every weather event or rain, you ask where we got all summer long and most of our fields this whole area, the beans are doing really well. Not too much corn's come off yet in this area, so we don't know about corn, but we expect about the same type of results on the corn. Everything looks pretty awesome.
You know, one of the things that guys here were nervous about, it really hasn't turned out to be a problem yet, but we've just had so much wind that everyone is a little nervous about, boy, I wonder how this corn's going to stand up late season. Are you seeing anything at all out there, or the cornfields looking pretty good?
They're looking pretty good, yeah. Like I say, we're still fairly high in moisture. I think we seem to have lost some heat in the September area, and things kind of went for a stall as far as development goes. But I think in all fact, it added bushels to everything. So we're looking at it just an awesome crop in this area, and it was well deserved. We had it the other way around last year, so.
Yeah, for sure needed a year to heal up a little bit. And I know a lot of non-farmers will talk to us about this on a year like this. Here we go. We're talking with you, Gary, and you're saying we've got above average yields, and non-farmers may say, boy, it must be nice when you get to harvest that big crop and make extra money 1 year. But they quickly forget that last year we were a little bit short, and this is going to help pay some of those bills last year's crop couldn't take care of.
That's for sure. Yeah. You don't want to increase the rents or anything like that just based off of this year.
Yeah. And, you know, it's tough because a lot of the expenses on farms are so big. When you look at land prices, you look at equipment, even seed and fertilizer, it's a lot of money out there. And it takes a pretty good money manager to make it all work and to balance it out when you have such uneven levels of income each year. Do you have bins on your farm, Gary, or what are you going to have to do with this crop? You have to go right to town?
No, we have a grain elevator. But we move a good chunk of our crop at harvest time, especially soybeans this year with the price. We're not hanging on to too much as far as the soybeans go. And corn, I've got a lot going out this fall yet too that was sold at some pretty decent prices, or is being sold at these prices in the rest of the store into the first of the year. Beans, we're right close to an export terminal here, and they want to seem to load traders and get them out of the Great Lakes area, and that usually keeps our bases pretty strong at harvest time. So that's kind of a benefit in this area. 20 minutes and we're dumped onto a freighter.
That's fantastic. Good to have some of those advantages for your area, no doubt about that. Talk to us about weed control this year. One thing that I've talked to a few guys this week about has been, man, there's some late escaping weeds in different areas of the country, different weeds that are popping up, even some of the winter annuals getting started out there. Are you seeing much for weed pressure as you're heading through these fields?
Not really at all. We're strictly no-till, zone-till, and so very little tillage. Perennials are always a battle, but we canopied so heavy on our crop, our chemical rates are a lot higher because, like, we'll use a liter and a quarter of Roundup versus the old 0.75 or something.
Sure.
And with a quick canopy like we got this year and excessive growth on the soybean crop, those winter annuals that are hard to kill in the summertime are gone. They just couldn't survive that canopy.
Awesome.
Yeah,
we always talk about that crop canopy is our best weapon that we've got for fighting these weeds. If you can just choke them out so they don't have any sunlight, that works quite well. We're talking with Gary, farms up in Ontario, still working on the soybean crop up there and excited to get into the corn as the soybeans are yielding quite well. Gary, thank you so much. Really appreciate having you on. Good luck and stay safe this harvest.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, let's try Wade again. We'll head back down to Texas. Cotton harvest is going on, and Wade's a busy guy. Wade, how are you doing?
I'm okay. How are you?
Well, pretty good. We're trying not to blow away up here, and I hear it's pretty windy down there, too.
40, 50-mile-an-hour west wind, and if you've ever been around a cotton stripper, you realize the static electricity that is in the air, and I just had to get off the stripper for a little bit and get away from them because it was causing our cell phones to just go crazy.
Wow. Okay, so talk to us about cotton harvest. Now, we experienced a hotter, drier summer. What was yours like, and how did that impact your cotton yields this year?
Well, it's a tale of really two stories. Is right through the middle of my land is Highway 6282, and to the east of it, we got a lot of rain up until the middle of July, and west of it, we didn't get any. And so everything west is just irrigated that's left, and everything east looked really good till you got late into August. And then we got a really bad cold snap in the end of September, and it just shut this cotton down. It it froze on it, but it was still 45, 50 degrees, but cotton shuts down, you know, when it gets under 55, and it really did shut it down this year.
Yeah, we found that out on our farm because we've had some just little plots of cotton just for demonstration purposes, and man, if we don't wait until it warms up a bunch in the spring, it just doesn't grow. It's amazing.
Well, it's a warm weather plant, and it's a drought tolerant plant, but it's not water. It's not waterproof. It's got to have a little water.
Sure. Well, how are the other crops in the area doing? Soybeans do good this year?
We didn't have any of our soybeans survive the spring. It's the third year in a row we haven't had anything. We run them on drip, and just the way the weather was, we just couldn't get a decent stand on them, and so we didn't have any of that. The corn, real frankly, we didn't get in there and shell one row of corn. We turned the cows in on it the 1st of August and just tried to salvage it that way. When we've got your own cow-calf herding, that's kind of an option for us, and so that's what we did with the corn. So in the long run, we'll come out on it because of the feed value, especially in a drought. But the thing that really killed us this year is the grape harvest out here. We've got a lot of acres of grapes in the county, and we've got some, and we're looking at about 10% of normal yields in grapes.
Oh, boy. Yeah, that is not good, and there's a lot of inputs there for that crop as well that you need to cover. That 10% just isn't going to cut it. Oh, wait, I'm sorry to hear that. That's, you know, and you mentioned, too, that you kind of had a tale of two stories here on this weather. It seems like that's often the case in Texas, that it's either all or nothing in a lot of times, and you mentioned having irrigation and having a couple of things to try to help your farm out a little bit, too, and yeah, in extreme years like this, even that might not be enough. Well, Wade, thank you so much. Really appreciate you stopping the harvest for just a little bit to talk to us, and good luck here the rest of the way. Getting a harvest update from you, we'd love to hear from you at 844-44-AG-PHD. We'll be right back.
You need a powerful herbicide to fight the war on weeds. Bellum is Rotem North America's mesotrione herbicide, and it fights against the annual broadleaf weeds attacking your cornfields. Winning this battle means higher yields, lower cost to you, and maximized profitability. For long-lasting residual weed control, check out Evinco Vilify and our newest mix, Rixa. For application, flexibility, and season-long control, that's Evinco Vilify and Rixa, powered by Bellum. For more information, visit bellumherbicide.com. That's B-E-L-L-U-M herbicide.com.
Each year brings new and unique challenges to farming, and your operation needs to constantly adapt to meet them. That's why at AgBiome, we're working every day to bring you new and better solutions. Microbial-based solutions that protect your crop and help it reach its full potential. To learn more about how we're doing it, visit agbiome.com. That's AGBIOME.com. AgBiome, feeding the world responsibly. Partnering with microbes for human benefit.
Success isn't just about maintaining your operation, how you make out for the season, or how much you can get from each acre. It's about doing precisely what needs to be done to feed your crop and grow your legacy, all the way down to the last drop. AgroLiquid Precision Crop Nutrition. Apply less, expect more. Find a retailer at agroliquid.com.
The Pentair Hypro Express Flush Valve reduces plugged nozzles and improves cleanout of your spray boom. Simply flush boom sections with a quarter-turn ball valve and leave your tools in the cab. Plus, installation is easy. Simply remove the existing end cap plug and replace with the Hypro Express Flush Valve. Learn more at pentair.com/hypro.
Make every bushel count with the Endzone Bin Fan Control System from Farm Shop MFG. Harvesting soybeans too dry causes shatter loss in the field and revenue loss from shrink when you go to market. Condition your grain for ideal moisture with the Endzone. Visit farmshopmfg.com for more.
Your land is a legacy, a challenge from those who tended it before you to build on their foundations. At Corteva Agriscience, we understand what it means to be the stewards of a legacy. We embrace the challenge of building on the foundation of Dow AgroSciences to maintain your trust, to bring new solutions, to help you care for your land. See how we can help build your legacy at rangeandpasture.com.
I need the solve without the sell.
With NK Seeds, I get people I trust, who show me where their hybrids and varieties fit in my field without the heavy sell.
So I get solutions that solve my problems from a partner who knows that success matters.
Find your solve at nkseeds.com.
Hey everybody, come on in. The Ag PhD mailbag is about to begin.
Getting harvest updates throughout the show, and I got some pictures here from Alabama from our friend Andy down there. He said cotton harvest is underway, and wow, what a cool couple of pictures he sent, just baling up the cotton. He said in the meantime we're also calving, and sent a picture of a cow with her little calf that doesn't look very old in the background. And then he also said, and we've got a corn maze too. And he sent a picture of that. And I think corn mazes are really neat. I think some of the patterns that you can make and just inviting people out onto the farm and getting them out in a cornfield is a good time too. We got a chance to run through a corn maze over the weekend with my family, and that was It was pretty interesting too. They enjoyed that, and just something to do on the farm and try and connect people back with agriculture. So thanks for the pictures, Andy. Really appreciate that. Thanks for listening to the show as well. Brian, we had a question come in about potassium, and we're going to get to that in just a second. Tony from Minnesota has called in as well. Let's get to him first. Tony, how are you doing today?
Oh, it's another nice day. How are you guys?
Awesome. Yeah, you aren't getting many breaks this harvest season. How are things going?
We're just still at the beginning stages. We're okay. We got a little hot in August, but yields are definitely all right. That's for sure.
Good, good. Yeah, I think it's interesting with the way the weather patterns came this year. Now, you look at 2020 versus 2018 and 2019 in your area, certainly a much different year.
Absolutely. A year ago, we were nowhere close to starting yet, and now we're at 20% moisture on our corn. So.
Awesome. Awesome.
It's amazing the difference.
So have you got any big lessons that you've learned yet?
I got some theories I'm working on. How's that?
Well, it keeps you busy in the combine. Keeps you awake.
There you go. There you go. But I do got a question.
Okay.
What's your thoughts on Pell Line? I got a small area that needs fixing and wondering if Pell Line... What's your thoughts of that product?
Well, I know we're certainly going to be using some on our farm this fall to try to fix up some of those spots as well. Generally, those pellets they break down pretty easily into very fine particles of lime, which act pretty quickly. So we've had pretty good luck with Pell Lime over the years. It's more expensive to do than doing broadcast ag lime, but like you say, if you get small parts of a field to do, that's a pretty good way to go.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Another question. Applying potash base saturations, you know, in the 2 to 6% range, of course. Fall versus spring applied.
Okay. Well, we've typically done this in the fall for a number of reasons. One, the fields are generally a little drier. We can get through the field without as much compaction. We've got longer time for that potash to break down and start to become available for our crop. In fact, our dad was always a fan of, well, let's put the potash on in the fall, and then we've got time. Like if we're raising soybeans, for example, we get all the way until next July and August when it's really going to be in high demand in those soybean plants for it to come available. So we got a better shot. Or even in a two-year plan, you can look at it that way too. But we're typically doing fall application. Have you done a little bit of each?
Yeah, I haven't. There's some initial information on spring is giving some nice yield results.
Brian, what's your position on that? We're generally trying to get the moisture by putting it out in the fall. Maybe where you're at, Tony, you're getting enough moisture you can get stuff to work a little faster than us.
It seems like it rains all the time.
Yeah, so, I mean, it really depends on the situation. Since we're in a dry area, we want to get everything on as early as we possibly can, just so we have more opportunity to get rain. Like with strip till, too, where we do fall strip till, we have literally had it where we've dug root pits in the summer in July, still found dry potash sitting down 10 inches deep in the soil. So, in other words, we didn't have enough soil moisture to break that down in that entire time of roughly 9 months from when we'd put it on earlier. Now, I'm not saying that happens every year, but it does happen every once in a while. So, yeah, when you've got light soil and when you get a lot of rain, that's usually when you put potash on in the spring or even in the early summer. For us, where we have heavy soil, no irrigation, not a lot of rainfall, we want to get it on super early, preferably fall in our case.
Make sense?
It actually does. I do agree with that, I think. So yeah. But I thank you much.
You bet. Thanks a lot, Tony. Really appreciate the call. Good luck and stay safe.
Take care.
All right, Brian, we had another potash email come in. This one came from Claire in somewhere in Canada. I can't tell exactly where. I'm just looking at the email address. It doesn't say. It says, you keep talking about raising base saturations to 4 to 8% on potassium. I'm wondering if you do this all with 0060 or potash, how many pounds per application can you do before you start running into chloride issues in your soils?
Well, chloride is leachable. So I don't know anybody that's ever run into chloride issues that I've dealt with anyway, and I work with
thousands. Not in broadcast applications. Certainly if you're banding it close to the row, that then you can run into some issues.
Yeah, of course. But chloride by itself is fine. Chloride by itself is perfectly safe. The issue is when you start combining it with things like sodium, for example. So sodium together with chloride, now you've got a challenge. So let's say that you're in a sodic soil and you're thinking about putting on all kinds of potash. Well, then, yes, it's a little bit different situation. What we're talking about is everything else is great. You've got good drainage. The only thing you're lacking is potassium. Then typically I'm not that worried about it. You can put a fair amount on. We've done a lot of 500-pound applications of potash, a lot of 700-pound applications, and even higher than that. So I'm not too worried about it. But what we often tell people is, look, you don't have to do that in year one. You just have to understand, look, if you're at two now and you want to get to four, you need to be on a build program potentially for a while. So a lot of times we'll say, look, put on at least twice what grain removal is for the crop, and then you're on a build program, and then we find we can get more potassium into that plant too when we are on that build program and putting on a little more than the plant will normally need for the whole season. Because don't forget, potassium uptake varies from day to day. So when they talk about, well, this is how much it needs in total, that's nice to say, but at the peak times, like especially when you're talking soybeans, it is unbelievable how much potassium it'll take in a single day. And if you don't have great rainfall on that day or great soil moisture on that day, now you've got to have a higher concentration in the soil in order to get enough into the plant. Because if there's less water in there, and since potassium goes in with water, that's why we've got to have higher concentrations in a lot of cases. Plus, you got to have potassium balanced with other nutrients like magnesium and calcium. So that's why we want that base saturation K in the 4 to 8% range.
Yeah, I think that balance is a real key because you can even shoot for that high 8%, Clara, and say, well, I put the 8% on and I haven't really seen a yield response. That might not be the yield limiting factor anymore. And maybe it is to begin with. Maybe you're at 2% and that is the lowest thing on your test or the lowest stave in the barrel, but you want to make sure you're raising everything up. So yeah, maybe first get to that first 4% barrier and say, all right, I'm getting to 4. Now I'm going to bring all my other nutrients up at least to that minimum level. And then we're going to start building from there. I think that's a great strategy. Thank you very much. Really appreciate that question. Get this one from TW, who says, I'm wondering about Enlist soybeans, and certainly going to be a lot of new Enlist growers this coming year, with burn down applications. How would you recommend doing it? Would you plant the soybeans first, then do a burn down? Would you do a burn down with 2,4-D in front of them? Do you see any response with that? Are they susceptible to soil 2,4-D or just foliar 2,4-D they're protected from?
They're protected from both soil and foliar, so that's no big issue. And here's the thing. If you know for 100% certain you can get the burn down on after you plant, that's my preference. Because now you've let a few more weeds get up, and you just have a better chance to kill those weeds. But if, let's say, you're a one-man show, like I was talking about earlier today, and you're trying to get all this stuff done all by yourself, and you go, boy, I don't know if I'm going to get that done or not, then you can certainly do it a week before you plant or 2 weeks before you plant. It's no big deal either way.
All right. Thanks for the question, TW. Yeah, a lot of those questions, whether that burn down be in the spring, like what TW is talking there, or burn down situations in the fall where growers are trying to get, especially these winter annual weeds, there's definitely an opportunity there in the fall for using a 2,4-D or a Banvel based on where you're at in the growing season in your area. And like here, it's the end. There's nothing really growing anymore around us, so there isn't much concern for that. And then what you're going to be planting next spring and if there's a rotational concern. But yeah, it's kind of nice to wipe those weeds out and start clean. Thanks for listening to our program today. Be sure to join us again each weekday for more Ag PhD Radio.